This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
So how do you want this burger cooked?
Well done.
Now see, that's interesting.
What?
Well, what do football players say to each other after a good play?
Nice job.
Way to go.
No, come on, what else?
Good for you!
Well done. They say well done because, you see, football was created to make us grill.
Oh, come on, man. They hardly ever say well done.
Oh, so you're saying it's rare?
Like unicorns.
Grab the Kingsford charcoal on game day because football was made for grilling.
Hey, Mike Golic here. On game day, not all the action will be on the field. A lot could be happening on your grill. Burgers and dogs sizzling to perfection. Your buddies grabbing them up and munching them down while watching the game on TV. I'm talking about tailgating at home. You own the concession stand, so you know it's going to be good. And with Kingsford Charcoal, you're really cooking. Hey, football was made for grilling. For more football fun, play the Kingsford College Showdown on ESPN.com.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets passed, knocked away, Maritska. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the program today. Coming up, it is Bo Pelini live from Lincoln and his weekly press conference. Hopefully it's short. How many questions can you have about South Dakota State and with as many press opportunities? I don't know what else you're going to say. Some good things about the Washington game, some awards. Taylor Martinez, the Rivals.com Freshman of the Week, National Freshman of the Week. Eric Haig, the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. And the Huskers getting some recognition off that. Plus, Bo Pelini saying yesterday, no, he was not the coach that voted Nebraska number one. Some people believe it was Steve Sarkisian from Washington because he had a vote in the coaches' poll. So we'll hear from Bo Pelini. Also, a huge volleyball matchup tonight in Wayne. 10th-ranked UNK against unbeaten and 3rd-ranked Wayne State. Kind of some new territory for the Wildcats. Another win tonight, be a signature win for them. UNK would like nothing better than to erase the memory of a loss they had to Mesa State and get back on track where they have beaten some of the nation's best teams, and they'd like to do it again tonight. So we'll talk with Rick Squires coming up here in just a few minutes about that. So that's among our items on the show today. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming your way. We'd love to hear from you on the program, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Also, you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug Duda, Big Daddy, Tony Davis, our producer, engineer, Merritt Lawson with you. On this Tuesday, you are just itching to say something.
Well,
what do you got?
I want to give you three claps for your pickup of Alex Smith earlier. He's not dead yet. After week one, I know you were so down on yourself, and my fantasy season's over. It's done after 1 week. You know what? That team battled last night. They fought their butts off. Just gave the Saints too much time at the end. But I think your quarterback was last night what you envisioned him coming into the season.
Well, a little bit. I mean, they had a lot of turnovers in that game last night. The last interception was not his fault, deflected and caught. And, again, quit throwing the ball, any team, to guys whose jersey number starts with 4. If you're wearing a jersey that starts with 4, you should not be catching the football. I'm sure there's somebody over the history of time. There's one for you. There's one for you, emailers. There's one for you, listeners. Give me one good, it most likely is a fullback or a tight end, that's wearing a jersey somewhere between 40 and 49.
Jones.
You give me a number of a professional football player. Don't be giving me college crap. Giving me a professional football player who was a good receiver that wore the jersey anywhere in the 40s.
I think that guy
anywhere in the 40s.
I think the guy from the Rams that made the one hand that was on the top 10 plays of the week was in the 40s, but that's one catch. You're saying over an extended period of time.
Well, yeah, you're always going to throw it to these overweight fullbacks and lackluster tight ends, but, you know, it happened in the Niners game last night. He caught it, supposedly, and had no idea what to do with it after he caught it. But anyway, that's off the beaten path. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, Doug and Daddy. Spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. You just got to wonder where that effort was against Seattle.
Absolutely right. And Doug, when they start off the game and should have been 14-0, San Francisco, they find themselves, 10-0 the other way when they didn't get in the end zone twice there to start the game and had opportunities too. And then they just kind of let the game go. And, you kind of question. Well, Mike Singletary questioned a lot. They were players-only meeting during the week. He had a meeting with them before that. Then they had a players-only meeting. Get things back on track. Too bad for Reggie Bush last night. Broken leg. He tries to get off the field and then just could not put any weight on that and goes down. And what is 6 or 8 weeks? I'm done. And then to come back from that probably doesn't look good.
Who has him? Oh, yeah. Let's go to the phone lines at 888-455-3776.
Eric from Shelton.
Eric, what's going on?
Well, I wondered what Doug's thought was on Dallas Clark. That's 44. He seems to do pretty good for the Colts.
See, there's one good one. There's a good tight end.
Cooley's 47.
Good point. Cooley sucks. Good point. He's always in the top five tight ends on the magazine. Eric, thanks for the call. That's a good point. Dallas Clark is one. That's what I'm looking for. Give me somebody that's wearing the jersey 40, present or past, that was worth a damn catching the football.
Why are you so against Chris Cooley?
Give me the best season Chris Cooley's ever had on a team that's never won anything while he's been on. I think Chris Cooley's a good guy.
Well, that's not his fault.
Give me a great season Chris Cooley's had, and a team that's never any good. I'm just saying. Chris Cooley's not bad. He's just not great. All right? You can't even mention Chris Cooley was some of the best in the game now or ever. He's just an okay. He's a starting tight end for the Washington Redskins.
After Antonio Gates, after JerMichael Finley, and after Dallas Clark, right there.
Give me the stats to prove it, and I'll believe you.
We're gonna look up Chris Cooley's stats right now. Merritt's going to effort them over the last three seasons.
You know what it says? Poop, poop, and poop.
The guy catches 6-8 balls a game.
Through a wall. You know, on a fantasy football commercial, yeah, he's great. He's awesome.
There's a lot of people you can be against. I don't know how you want to be against Chris Cooley and saying his statistics aren't
that
good.
I'm not against Chris Cooley. I'm saying he's not one of the elite players in this National Football League.
For a tight end, he is one of the elite tight ends in the National Football League, undoubtedly. And I guess by elite, you would say in the top 5 or 6 out of 32 teams?
Well, at least. And he's not. So, and in fact, right now, I would take Keller over him every day of the week.
Keller's looked very good.
Every day of the week. So, I mean, there's an argument. Keller hasn't been around long enough. He's already done more this year than Cooley does in most years. I don't want to get Chris Cooley. We'll look. We'll see what you got to say. I don't even think you can find the stats in this show that's going to make our argument one way or another. We'd love to hear from you, 888-455-ESPN. Thank God Frank Gore had a big game last night. That's all I got to say.
Should have had another one. They put that rookie in on 3rd-and-1 in the first carry of his career.
Well, again, it's like a golf shot. No one wants to hear your bad beat poker story or your bad beat fantasy football story. But I'm so far behind last night, but I got Gore and Bush going, and the other guy has nothing. And yes, the guy I'm playing against scored the most points in the league this week. I had the second most. Until Gore popped it in for that tying touchdown, and I did win last night, which I feel bad for the guy I played against. He had the second most points in our league, and in head-to-head, that doesn't do you anything. Conversely, I also won another league with the lowest scoring total in the history of fantasy football this weekend. But that aside, I'm waiting, giving the ball, and then all of a sudden, I mean, everything possible happened last night for Gore not to get the job done. Bush breaks his leg. I thought he was going to return the punt for the touchdown. They bring in the backup for a touchdown. We're 5 minutes left. I just need 2 points out of Gore. We muff the punt and fumble it and turn it over to the Saints. I mean, absolutely everything possible was happening for Gore not to get two more points.
Once again, a great goal line stop by the 49ers stepping up. They hand the ball off to 44, their fullback. Speaking of, that guy comes through, he gets stood up and goes backwards. I thought that was a questionable play calling there. Are you trying to get in the end zone?
Exciting night, though, for Braylon Edwards. He must have had the wrong side of that, having a lot of fun there. On the good side of things, I don't think we got to this on the show yesterday, but Danny Woodhead, in case you hadn't heard, has still found a way to play professional football.
Yeah, you know, it's a conference rival of the New York Jets. It's kind of interesting that maybe Belichick would go after one of Rex Ryan's guys immediately following his
signed over the weekend by the Patriots, but was not in action or on the active roster for Sunday's game against those Jets, and they could have used him because the Jets went on and won that football game. So a couple of notes there that, in case you hadn't heard, wanted to pass that along to you. College football rankings out. UNK is up 4 spots to number 19 in Division II. Hastings College is up 1 spot to number 22 in the NAIA. In the volleyball rankings, no changes in the top 4 in Division I. Nebraska remains 4th. Iowa State 10th. Texas falls down to 12th. And in Division II, as we said, Wayne State 3rd, UNK 10th. Conference foes Metro State 14th and Regis 25th. The Lopers' Jerry Wachowiak is the Division II Player of the Week as they head up to Wayne. And high school volleyball tonight, I want to mention this. Alan Van Cura of Hastings St. Cecilia will be going for his 700th career win. Of course, earlier this month, Sharon Zavala became the all-time winningest coach at Grand Island Central Catholic. Now Alan Van Cura in the top 5 winningest coaches, goes for number 700 tonight against Donovan Trumbull. It will be a challenge. The Cardinals are playing good this year. You can hear that match on the Breeze tonight, 94.5 FM, scheduled to begin at 7:30. Let's go back to the phone lines at 888-455-ESPN.
Steve from Kearney.
Steve, what do you got for me?
Hey, I was going to suggest a gentleman by the name of Paul Warfield. Played quite a few years ago. I think he wore number 42 with the Dolphins.
You're right. You're probably right, Jim. You're probably right. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for I'm looking for people that caught the football wearing 40 on their jersey. Of course, a different era, which is fine, but Paul Warfield, also a great football player. Hey, thanks for the call, Steve. Take care. Yeah, you know, he's older than us.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that because I would not have known Paul Warfield wore number 42. That was in the game was played a lot different than it is today. When you got 7 guys you can throw it to, don't throw it to 40-something.
Yeah, the screen passes, the flat passes weren't there like they are now.
Let's stay with the phone lines, Merritt.
Mike from Gibbon.
Mike from Gibbon. What's going on, Mike from Gibbon?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Well, not much. You got one for me?
Well, no, I wanted to know how soon Gibbon was going to get some respect in football. I know you guys had Coach McLaughlin on. I commend you for that. But they're 3-0, guys. They beat Alliance, they beat Cozad, and they shut out Central City. And they're not getting any respect.
I'll give you a couple of reasons, and Ainsworth, not Alliance, but still, yeah, they're 3-0.
I'm sorry, Ainsworth.
They've beaten 3 teams, and we've talked about this so much in all polls, whether it's football, volleyball, it's the haves and the have-nots. And until, I mean, if you're let's say, what's a good team to pick here, Tony? I mean, Hastings St. Cecilia.
Or Adams Central.
Let's pick St. Cecilia. They're going to be given, because they've been good for so long, they're going to have to lose a couple of times next year before they leave the poll. Conversely, I'm sure Stu and Riley Jane are waiting for Gibbon to beat a team that's won a football game before they get in. Now, if they can get that win against Sandy Creek this week, I'm not sure that that's enough. But if they get to 5-0, and it depends what the teams ahead of them are doing, too. I think,
Is Cozad down this year?
Cozad is
not,
way down.
Yeah,
no. I mean, just way down from what they've seen in the past. They're 0-3. And I think that's what people are looking for.
And Mike, if you go back to yesterday's the World Herald, Stu did have his unbeaten teams that weren't ranked and didn't mention them. Now, obviously, yeah, you want to see him 9 or 10 in the poll, I think is what you're after. But he did mention they're the only unbeaten team in C1 that is not ranked.
Yeah, I'm just pretty excited because it's been such a long drought. It's been a long time since Gibbon had a respectable team.
Well, they're playing well, and we hope to get over there real soon and watch them play some football. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Mike, you guys keep up the great work.
Take care.
Yeah,
and again, you know, that rankings is such a – and we'll ask Bob Jensen tomorrow if we have time to get into all that. Again, they're 3-0, and Coach McLaughlin, we addressed it with him. The three teams they've played are all 0-3, and that's part of it. They're going to play a Sandy Creek team this week that on the season is 1-2. Then Lincoln Lutheran's 1-2. Then they get Minden and Grand Island Central Catholic. They're in a bad spot. They're not favored to win that. If they win that game, one of those games, beat Minden somehow, if they would win that game, be undefeated, they'd definitely be in. Maybe they'll be in before then. But you'll find a way to get to, and they're not the only team like that. See, Loup City, they got in at number 10 in D2 at 3-0 and haven't been ranked forever, but they've been in the playoffs recently. Gibbon is not. There's a lot of teams out there that are like this. All you do is keep winning. All you do is keep winning. Yeah, it's nice to see your school in the paper. There's no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Loper volleyball coach Rick Squires is going to join us. Then Bo Pelini's press conference for this Tuesday. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Get your thinking hats on. Back after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Attention, all males over 30. Do you get fatigued and find you're still gaining weight every year? Charger can reduce the fat around your core and increase your energy. So, if you're a guy over 30 and you want to lean up, lose the gut, and get more stamina than you've had in years, take charge with Charger. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sunmart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1FIT. That's 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Brought to you by Doug Mitchell of Marcotte Insurance in the Eagles Nest Plaza, Kearney. The Nebraska football team wraps up their non-conference portion of the season hosting South Dakota State Saturday night at 6. The UNK football team hits the road to take on Western State Saturday afternoon at 2. And Hastings College welcomes in number 1 Sioux Falls Saturday at 1. In volleyball, the Huskers will host Kansas Wednesday at 7 and travel to Baylor on Saturday night. The UNK volleyball team will take on Wayne State in Wayne Tuesday at 7 in a nationally ranked battle. Then it is home to take on Colorado Springs Friday and Colorado Mines on Saturday. For the Hastings volleyball team, they will host Concordia Wednesday, travel to Morningside Friday and Briarcliff Saturday. In soccer, UNK is on the road Colorado Christian Friday and Colorado Pueblo Sunday. And for Hastings, they will be at Nebraska Wesleyan Wednesday and hosting Briarcliff Saturday. And that's a Sports Minute.
We'll see partial sunshine across the area today. There's a nice little chance of a shower early yet, especially areas further southeast. Otherwise, look for highs at 77 with an east wind of 5 to 10. We'll then drop back to 60 tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
Who cares if you disagree? You are not me. Who made you king of anything?
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska is the ESPN Radio Superstation. You know, the wind's supposed to die down here by the end of today, and that means and the temperature is going to be in the upper 70s. Perfect to get out and get some golf in. Maybe you just need a break. I know I need a break. A small break, a little afternoon break, a little morning break. Well, golfers, how would you like to turn $2 into $1 million? You know what? I'm just going to scratch out golfers. Anybody, how would you like to turn $2 into $1 million? You know why I say that? Because there'll be somebody out there that's probably only swung a golf club a few times in their life and could probably get a hole in one or knock it close as easy as anybody. All you have to do is head to Prairie Hills Golf Course next week. Tuesday, September 28th through Friday, October 1st. Qualification starts at 8 a.m. each day. Here's the deal. The 20 golfers each day that get closest to the hole, the 20 golfers that get closest to the hole qualify for the $1 million shootout, which is October 1st at 6 p.m. And the golfer closest to the hole during qualification wins a year membership valued at $1,000. Each shot costs $2, and every time you buy a shot, you get entered into the drawing for a free membership. $2 into $1 million at Prairie Hills. You can make that, you get $1 million. Or, if you're one of the closest, qualifying. The 20 golfers that get closest qualify for that $1 million shootout. If you make the hole in one that night, you get the million. The golfer closest to the hole wins a year membership valued at $1,000. For more information, contact the Great Gang out at Prairie Hills Golf Course in Pleasanton, where I think I get a chance to go play here before the end of the season. So I'm pretty fired up about that.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Looks beautiful driving by it. Way better shape the last 2 years than it ever has in the past.
But it's all work, no play for Rick Squires. They get to hit the bus and head up to Wayne tonight for a top 10 matchup. Now that the new polls are out, Wayne State third, UNK setting at 10th. And Coach Rick Squires joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Let's start it off. How does New Mexico Highlands have any kind of a volleyball team? You guys crushed everybody you played last weekend, and I don't remember that happening in the past. Maybe somebody has an off night, and you catch them and you roll them off a long road trip, but you destroyed your team, destroyed all three schools last week that were all around 500. They weren't 0-7 or 0-10. Are you guys that good? Did you refocus, or did they all have off nights? Or give me an explanation, Coach!
You know, I'd like to think we were that good, but I would more realistically say that we did what we probably should have done. We played clean, and we didn't dip down to the level of our competition, and those teams did not play well when they came in here. I didn't expect New Mexico Highlands to be a great team. They're a young team and second-year coach, I think, and they're trying to upgrade their talent and so forth, but I think they could have competed better than they did, so in some ways it was a little disappointing because I don't think their kids competed all that hard. And then I thought we'd get a little more from Pueblo, who probably had an upgrade in talent from New Mexico Highlands, but unfortunately kind of the same thing on their end. I just think they came in here not believing they had much of a chance and wanted to hit the road as quick as they could, and so we helped them do that, and then really thought Adams would be a team that would be extremely competitive, maybe along the lines of a Mesa or a St. Cloud. They had that kind of personnel, I thought, but I do think they were a little road-weary. I mean, they had to play at Mines and Shadron, I want to say, or no, it was Colorado Christian before they came out here. They lost both of those matches, so I'm sure their confidence level wasn't all that high, and we jumped on them early, and I think eliminated any realistic possibility they might have thought about winning here. So we were able to get three wins on the board, and that's important in the conference season.
Coach, take us back to before that. Did the girls let down when they got back from Tampa a little bit or relax?
You know, I'm not sure if it was so much that or it's a hard trip. I mean, anytime you take a trip to one of the coasts and you have to turn around, and we played during the week against Augustana. We played four awfully tough matches in that Florida trip, and I think it just takes a little bit out of you physically and psychologically. I mean, trying to regroup, and Mesa caught us a little bit off guard. I'm not sure we expected them to be quite that good. We kept waiting for them to make the errors that we had seen them make against St. Cloud or maybe even in some of the other matches they had played this year, and they just seemed to get better, and the longer the match went on, the more they felt like they had a chance, and they were able to get a big win on our home floor, which we don't sure like to let happen very often. But hopefully we got a little bit better after that and cleaned things up, and we're playing better right now.
Loper Volleyball Coach Rick Squires joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You had a chance, obviously, to play, I would imagine, everybody on the bench, or at least most of the kids that you had suited. Outside of the starters, who's somebody that had a shining moment this past weekend that maybe normally isn't going to see a lot of rotations?
Well, we decided after a couple of weekends to get Ashley Leitner on the court. We were originally planning to redshirt her. She's a freshman from Lincoln Southwest, and she's kind of a left-side, right-side player who's pretty versatile and gives us an opportunity to bring her in and do a number of things. And so we visited with her, and after what we had seen in practice and some of the needs we felt like we had, we were able to get her on the floor. I thought she played well. Kaylee Anderson continues to play well after coming in really in the Mesa match and kind of establishing that she could handle some significant back row duties, and so she's in the starting rotation, and we feel, you know, pretty good about her right now, especially since Shelby Workman dinged an ankle and wouldn't be available at this stage anyway. So a couple of them there. Katie Sokolowski's playing better. Obviously, she is in the starting rotation. And hopefully our young players will continue to come along. We were able to get Morgan Fisher on the court a little bit. We think she's got a chance to be a player here. So you never know when you can be able to do that, but we were able to this weekend, and hopefully it'll pay off down the road.
Well, tonight you got a big matchup going up to Wayne. They are playing some outstanding volleyball. I think this is even new territory for them. What do you got to do to beat this volleyball team, which you've had success against?
Well, hopefully the new territory for them will spell trouble. But, you know, they're playing awfully well. They are, it's not a total surprise. They have a lot of players back from last year. They've been on the rise here for the last 3 or 4 years. They continue to get better talent, and, you know, they do the right things. They train well. I think they're like a lot of really good teams in any sport. They just don't make a lot of unforced mistakes. They understand their roles. They don't have any glaring weaknesses. They're pretty good at everything. They're balanced. They have great leadership, especially with a senior setter. The arts girl, they've got kind of a go-to player in Hefner in the middle. Frederickson's playing well for them. So, you know, they ball control, they defend, and they make you really earn every point that you get. And I think, again, just like any sport, when you don't make a lot of mistakes, you're going to have a chance to win every night.
Rick, was it this summer? When did you first catch notice that, hey, they could be a pretty good team?
Well, I think I knew they were going to be a good team, but I was a little surprised that they went out to the premier and went 4-0. You know, that was a pretty high-level tournament. And, you know, when they beat Concordia St. Paul, although I had already seen Concordia St. Paul, we didn't play them. They were down in Florida. They are not quite the same team as they were last year, but that was still a heck of a win. And, you know, I have not seen Southwest Minnesota, but I had heard they were an awfully good team, and then Wayne turned around and beat them right after beating Concordia St. Paul. So, to me, those two wins are the ones that I think maybe elevated their status. Up until that point, I'm not quite sure they had played maybe the schedule that we had, but when you beat those two teams, I guess that means you're for real.
Well, Coach, we'll let you get to the workout and on the road and hopefully come back with another victory. And then this weekend, you got home conference games. How did you guys get this draw? You're home a lot here with these conference games to start the season.
Well, they did tweak the conference schedule a little bit this year, and we actually play everybody but one team, and thankfully that is Western New Mexico out in Silver City. So for whatever reason, we've got the big homestand early, and we need to capitalize on it because obviously we're going on the road in the later part of the season, and we need a little cushion. So we'll have to play well this weekend regardless of what happens tonight.
All right, Coach, safe travels, and best of luck up at Wayne.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Rick Squires, head volleyball coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. Big match tonight. Big match tonight. Who knows what's going to be on the court thrown out there from the student section at Wayne.
Role reversal. You know, this UNK has been that team on top of the mountain. I think it's one of the first times Wayne State has. So hopefully maybe a little bit of pressure, maybe be back on Wayne tonight and their home gym wanting to perform for that home crowd.
Well, Bo Pelini should be getting ready for his press conference, so let's try and catch a break here. And when we come back, we'll have the coach after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. All your important files, let's face it, they're on your office computer. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or a flash drive, email files to yourself. What a hassle. My recommendation, use gotomypc.com to remotely access your office, Mac, or PC from any other computer. Simply go and log on to gotomypc.com, and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. Use any program. It works on any file. Check email. Access your network resources. GoToMyPC, brought to you by Citrix, lets you take your office with you wherever you go, and it's really easy to set up and use. GoToMyPC is great. I want you to try it free today. I've got a special 45-day free trial just for my listeners. This is only available if you use the promo code Colin. Visit gotomypc.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Colin. Take your office everywhere you go. It's gotomypc.com.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified bill paying. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see partial sunshine across the area today. There's a nice little chance of a shower early yet, especially areas further southeast. Otherwise, look for highs of 77 with an east wind of 5 to 10. We'll then drop back to 60 tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 66. I used to be like drunk, but now I'm
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, getting ready for Bo Pelini's weekly press conference, which we will bring to you live here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You can always email us. We've got Troutman's Tuesday trivia coming up, and don't forget that all of the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show are fed by our friends at Burger King. Join the breakfast revolution at BK with hot, fluffy pancakes, freshly baked blueberry biscuits. How about their toasted BK breakfast ciabatta club sandwich with egg, sausage, bacon, cheese, and tomato? That is all for you at Burger King. Two locations at Kearney, also in Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. It's time for Coach Pelini. Let's head to Lincoln.
Go ahead, guys. Hey, Bo, you guys have some pretty good momentum coming off of the Washington game. 18 days between that game and playing Kansas State, you have South Dakota State. Well, I mean, how do you keep the mojo up when you're going to be going down and playing a lower division team? And you still have a lot of space after that between the Big 12 opener.
Well, we really don't talk much, to be honest with you, about who we're playing. I mean, we don't really. We kind of take the philosophy we got to concentrate on getting ourselves better as a football team every day, and you got to challenge them in practice. You got to challenge them with game plans, with really execution and getting better every day, and. You know, that's kind of, I've always felt that we've had some pretty good success in helping your football team along and dealing with situations like that, and we, like I said, we talk about every day about getting better and earning it, and I think our guys understand that. I mean, I saw it in practice yesterday. We had great tempo yesterday.
You don't ever have concerns, though, about human nature taking over with your guys, when you do have kind of a role like this?
Well, you always have. Human nature is part of it, but, we ask our guys to overcome human nature and push them along. And it's always going to be a factor. But, as a coaching staff and as a coach, you got to work on and do some things to help them overcome that and constantly talk to them about it, challenge them, and do different things to enable your team to move forward so you don't make a dip in the road.
So it's been a while since Nebraska's been undefeated in the non-conference schedule. How much of a boost would it be to head into the conference, the Big 12 conference, undefeated?
Well, it hasn't happened since in the last 2 years, so it's obviously will be a good thing. It means that we're on track, but, you know, we talk about, you know, taking each week individually, and this is the next one. And if we take care of our business, we will be undefeated going into the next step if we do what we, you know, we're setting out to do.
I think everybody kind of knew the offense would be improved from a year ago, but are you a little even surprised, 513 yards a game, 8.1 yards a carry on the ground, what they've been able to do these first 3 weeks?
No, I mean, I don't get it, buy into all the stats, and I don't, you know, I don't focus on that. I think we've gotten better. I knew we'd be better. I think we're better up front, which, you know, I believe it always starts there. No, I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, I don't know about all those numbers and that. I do know that he's, you know, even though, you know, we've put up some good stats and where we are right now, there's still, we can still get a lot better. And we're not even close to where we need to be yet in a lot of different phases. But I have seen a lot of positive signs.
You talk about how you, if you have any level of concern with Martinez running the ball as much as he has, or, you know, being that it's a long season and he's not exactly the biggest guy. Or is there anything you do with him in practice during the week or in game planning to maybe make sure that he doesn't need to pound it too much?
Well, he doesn't get pounded in practice, you know, a whole heck of a lot. I mean, but, you know, that's why you have three guys you have confidence in. But, you know, to be honest with you, it's not something that keeps me awake up at night. Is, you know, I mean, it's part of the deal. When you're going to run the quarterback some, he's going to take some hits. And I know he's tough, and that's why you got to have more than one guy. And we're very fortunate. We have three guys we feel that can execute our offense and lead our football team. And just part of the deal.
Was it important for you guys as that game got progressing through the first half? I think there was a time where your running backs had a lot lower number of carries than he had. And then he started. Sean started calling some plays to really get Rex and Roy involved. Was there an emphasis on getting the ball in their hands?
Well, that was what was there, and you know, a lot of things we're going to take what's given to us, and you know, you make adjustments along the way. You see how a team's playing you, and you make your adjustments, and you try and take advantage of what the defense is doing. I think that's what happened there.
The polish that he and your back seem to have with the zone read, is that, how much of that is his instinct, or is it repetition or a combination of his decision making on that also?
I think it's both. And I will say, and I think Taylor would be the first one to tell you, that his decision making can improve. You know, there's a few times when he should have given it or vice versa. That's something that the more you do it, the more repetition you have at it, and the more looks you see, the better decision making it's going to be. But it's been, I think he's done a pretty good job with it for the most part. But there's still a ways to go on that, as far as not leaving some plays out there that were, you know, that where we can make yards and we don't make the correct decision or the right read. That's just something that you get better at as you grow with it.
A lot of guys run that. Is he just seem like he has a knack for it?
Well, I think he does a good job with it, and I think the schemes help. I think that you know, we're putting a lot of, you know, we're, you know, never locking into one certain thing. We're giving a lot of different looks and a lot of different types of reads. It's not just one thing all the time, and. You know, I think it's evolving, and I think it can continue to get better. Because, you know, the more we move forward with it.
You mentioned being better up front. One of the guys you added was Jeremiah Searles. Can you just talk a little bit about what he brings to the table and how it helps you guys?
Well, I think he's played pretty good football for a young guy, and He plays over there for the most part at that left tackle position, and you know we all know it's not the easiest position to play. I think he's coming along. I mean, he's not the finished product. You know, he's got to eliminate those false starts that creeping into the game last week. And but he's a talented young man. He does a lot of good things, but he can still get a heck of a lot better. And I'd say the same thing about Yoshi. You know, I mean, he's very talented, he has a lot of good things that he brings to the table, but, you know, consistency is the key, and that's really a key across the board.
Well, they find it, give Cody an opportunity, for example, to have first
time. Yeah, our plans haven't changed.
When you go into a game like this, how much do you weigh just trying to make sure guys don't get hurt, your front-line guys?
We don't. We just go out to get better as a football team. I mean, that's, you know, if you start worrying about that, Eric, I think that's when injuries happen. You know, you just let your guys go out. You got to go play football. We need to take a step and get better as a football team this week, and that's really our only concern. And you got to have respect for the game. You got to have respect for who you're playing, and we have to play hard, and. We need to get better, and that's period, end of story. And we're going out there, and we're going to treat this like we would any other game. And if we don't, that's when you have problems. I think our guys understand that.
If things would go according to a lot of the way people would think that they might go, or pretty assuredly would go, would this be a good time though to do a lot of player development as you get on in the game? I mean, maybe Cody plays a lot more than he has.
Yeah. If the situation presents itself, then yeah, that would be. I hope it's like that every week for the rest of the way. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
The way the UCS is set up right now, you know, as a college coach, is there any more pressure when you're playing a team you're, I guess, expected to be to, you know, not run up the score but win convincingly?
Well, you just try and play the best football you can. And the last thing on my mind is how the BCS is set up or any of that. That's for other people to be decided. You have to do what's best for your football team. And I know what's best for our football team right now is to get better and the play lights out. Because once again, we haven't arrived. We're not even close to having arrived as a football team. We have a lot of improvement that needs to be made across the board.
You had said yesterday, or kind of indicated after practice, that you know you weren't really crazy about playing teams from the lower division. Was there any thought given to trying to get out of this game?
No. I mean, once you kind of lock into a contract, you know, unless they come to you and ask you to get out of it. And I'm not opposed to it, to playing teams like this. It's just, if I was given the opportunity, if I was given a couple scenarios, I'd usually pick the higher division team. And I think, I wasn't here when this contract was signed or anything like that, but I believe we owe it to the fans. And really to your football team to challenge them every week. And, you know, I don't want to say that in the wrong way, act like this isn't a challenge. Every week is a challenge. It's just, it's just my philosophy and what I've been around, I guess.
How's the scheduling work? Does Jamrog do a lot of that?
Jeff Jamrog, he does most of the scheduling, but, you know, he brings it to me and we talk about it. And obviously Coach Osborne's involved in that, too.
So, I mean, as far as you're concerned, like, you won't do it down the road?
No, that hasn't been – we haven't set anything up like that down the road.
No, I mean, you wouldn't schedule on 1AA down the road?
No. Well, you know, you never know. Sometimes you don't – sometimes there are conflicts. You never say never, but that's not what we're looking to do.
Oh, what can you tell us about this SDSU team known as the Jackrabbits coming down here?
I think they're a well-coached football team. They play hard. They have a pretty physical football team. Like I said, I don't really treat this anything different. You know, I think there's some things that they do well that we're going to have to work hard at taken away. I think they they're fairly multiple in both sides of the football. So you know, I think it's a I think it's a good opponent to be playing. You know, at this point, and it's not like they're going to line up in one thing. They're going to stretch you as far as what you have to know and how you have to prepare, and that enables you to allow your football team, both obviously on Saturday, but also the preparation leading up to the game, that you can keep moving forward and keep learning and keep developing.
There have been four or five of these 1AA schools that have won these games this year. Is that something you can kind of say, hey guys, if we don't show well, these guys can play with teams at the 1A level?
There's no doubt. I mean, you know, you just look across the board that 1AA football is pretty good. And, you know, they come and play a 1A opponent. Those kids are out to prove that they belong in a 1A program. You know, you have to have respect for the game and for football. And, you know, I watch it every day in practice. You know, you see guys that, you know, that aren't on the first and second team that are running scout teams that make plays day after day against your starters, against the top-tier guys, and to challenge them every single day. And you have to be ready to play. You have to have respect for the game of football, for the sport, and to be at your best every single time you walk out there, or it will creep up and bite you. And we've also been around it, we've all seen it, and there's only one way to have you have to approach it, no matter who you're playing, each and every week, that you got to go out there and play your best. And that's a challenge that's ahead of us.
Yeah, the 1AA football in your hometown, did you grow up at all watching that as a fan of that, or was it more Ohio State?
Well, I mean, I was just a fan of college football, and, you know, obviously, you know, Youngstown State, you know, was a good football team, especially after I went to college when Coach Tressel was there and such. But, you know, you look across the board, and there's a lot of, you know, every year we watch the 1AA, you know, playoffs and things on TV, and those are some good football teams. You know, I think back when I was at LSU, and we played Appalachian State, and I want to say at halftime it was like 14-0 or something like that. But they were a good football team, and we've been around it. I mean, we've all been in those situations where you got to be ready to play.
Well, what are your thoughts on your knee line right now? How do you see? Playing right now, and are you happy with what they're doing?
Yeah, I think their D-line I thought they played well last week. I think they're getting better. I think that, you know, it's the front-line guys are playing at a pretty high level. I think the backups are coming along and developing, and because we're going to need that depth when we get into Big 12 play. But I'm real happy with the way our D-line's playing right now.
Secondary, you have the second most picks in the country. What's impressed you most about how the secondary has played so far?
Well, I thought coming in our secondary would be a strength for our football team, and I think they're good. I think that we're fairly deep there. We ask them to do a lot of different things, and I think that they challenge receivers. They're getting better, but once again, I think we can still get a lot better.
Well, you're getting a lot of big plays out of the offense that you didn't get last year. Does that take some pressure off of, you know, everybody, coaches, players, and, you know, knowing that everything doesn't have to be perfect when you've kind of got the big play element?
Yeah, I think that helps. I mean, obviously, I mean, I said going into the year, I had a lot of confidence in the offense, I don't want to get into everything that went on last year. I mean, I made my mistakes and a lot of other things, but you know, we were kind of in a situation where we were beat up pretty good, more than I think a lot of people thought, and we weren't able to really move forward with the offense and the schemes the way we would have liked to have, we kind of found a formula that worked for us, and so we were excited coming into this year about the potential of what the offense could be, and I think we're seeing just a scratching the surface of what this offense can become. And I think we have a lot of weapons. I think we're good up front. And obviously, you know, takes a lot of pressure off you. But no one likes to kind of play the way we did last year, but that's kind of the situation we were put in, and we felt like that was a, at that point of time was the best way for us to play to win games.
Does that wear on guys, you know, wear on everybody after a while, knowing that you kind of got to execute almost, I mean, it felt like you guys had to execute almost perfectly last year to really score.
Well, I mean, execute perfectly to score? Well, we were just playing. We became a pretty conservative offense because of, like I said, for a lot of different reasons, and it wasn't the ideal situation. And I think when you saw us go into that bowl game, you know, when we kind of had all our guns firing, what the potential of that offense was. But you know, that wasn't us for a lot of the year. We had some guys playing really hobbled and on one leg, and you know, like I said, we chose to redshirt some guys that probably could have helped us down the road in the season, but. That's what it was kind of the way it was, and the way some of those games played out, where we were playing really well defensively and we kind of got a lead early. You know, I mean, I look at the Oklahoma game where we, and even Texas to a certain extent, where we were playing good. And we were kind of in that situation, you know, where we kind of stayed with that formula when we weren't going to open it up if we didn't need to. But this is a totally different time and a different offense and different circumstances now, but it sure does help you.
It's got to make your job calling defenses a lot easier, knowing that you guys were in a lot of high stress situations last year defensively, where the offense wasn't doing much and you basically couldn't make a mistake or couldn't make a bust, because the offense just wasn't playing very well. Is it a different mindset, when you're calling defenses this year and you know you got a little bit more firepower over there?
Not really. Because to be honest with you, if the circumstances in those games weren't were what they were, we would have changed the way we were playing offensively too. And it really doesn't. I mean, I don't call it much different. I tell you what's been a little bit different is we've been scoring so quick. We've been on the field a heck of a lot more on defense. To be honest with you, that's. I wanted to tell Coach Watson, tell the offense that. Use a little more clock every. I love that drive at the end of the first half the other day because. But you know, it goes hand in hand. You know, you got to be ready to play off of each other, and I do know this works pretty explosive on offense, and it does help you defensively, and it helps the mindset. But you can't change what your mindset is defensively either. You can't let the fact that the offense is playing well and they're going to put points on the board change your mindset or anything you're doing defensively, because that's how you lose an edge.
With the offense being as explosive as it is, I know you guys thought highly of Taylor the whole time, but I mean, 3 games into his career as a starter, I mean, is he far beyond what you would have thought at this point?
We put him in there because we thought that's what he could be, and he's an explosive athlete. You know, I mean, he's putting up some good numbers and really great numbers, and as are a lot of the other guys on offense. But I think the exciting thing about it is he's got a long way to go. I think he'd be the first one to tell you, which is pretty exciting to know that. He's got a lot out ahead of him. I mean, as far as how to not just managing the team and such, but his decision-making, his reads, all those things. There's just so many areas he can get better at. And as he does and he keeps progressing along with the rest of the guys on the offensive side, then we can continue to move forward and be even more explosive.
Well, how does sticking with teams like Texas, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma last year with a hobbled offense, how does that affect the confidence of this year's offense, knowing that even though you might have had a man down playing on one leg, like you said, but you stuck with those national
programs? Well, we never have lacked confidence. And I don't think our offensive, anybody's ever lacked confidence. And but I do know they're excited about what's going on. They were excited going in. I think that I think people are getting to see that, that football team we played in the Holiday Bowl was a pretty good football team. And I think coming out of that game, it was pretty obvious. Not only, I mean, our offense knew what they were capable of going in. And they continued on through the spring and through the fall. And And now we can't become complacent and think we've arrived, because we haven't. We've got a long way to go yet, and a lot more improvement that needs to be made. And it's pretty obvious when you look that that's the case, when you watch the film and you look at it really with the situation, with the right attitude, and saying, you know, there's a lot, so many things I need to get better at, and we need to as we move forward in the Big 12 play.
It seems over the past, since you got here, your defense has evolved a little bit, the zone coverage, you get the more man-to-man, wasn't able to do.
Well, I wouldn't call us, I don't think we've changed a whole heck of a lot. We still play, you know, our zones aren't conventional zones, but I wouldn't call us a man team either. I mean, it's a little bit of a combination. I think that's what makes us effective, is we do a lot of different things, and we're able to alter it to each week. And, you know, I think that's what makes us effective. But, you know, I wouldn't call us just, you know, a conventional man team or just a zone team. I think you got to be able to mix it up and be pretty multiple in what you do.
So you are playing a little man now than you did.
Oh, no, we played when we got here. We did a little bit of everything, and we just weren't as good at it. And, you know, because we didn't understand it. I think the more understanding we have, the better off we've gotten, better we've gotten.
Athletes, having different guys.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say we didn't have athletes when I first got here, but we made a lot more mistakes. And believe me, those mistakes still creep up and get us. I mean, we made a couple the other day, one really boneheaded one that hurt us. But, you know, we have to, you know, those are a lot fewer and far between. We were our own worst enemy that first year. And really at times early last year, and you know, that's less and less, and I just think we've gotten better.
See the D-line earlier, what have you seen from Baker Steinfort this year?
He's doing well. He's getting better. He's got a lot of things he can improve upon, but I think he's done some good things in there.
Coach, before you got here, there wasn't much of a QB run game in Coach Watson's offense. What do you think that says about his ability to evolve and adjust as a coach?
I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think Coach Watson is a heck of a football coach. And he's going to, you know, what a good football coach does is he looks and sees what his talent is. And, you know, you don't just play one scheme. You evolve to your you evolve as a football coach. You evolve according to your talent. There's so many things that play into it. And he's done a good job with that.
What can you say about Mike? You know, just his story, you mean, undersized guys, and how
big he was. Kudos, good football player. He's doing a lot of good things. He's done a good job up to this point.
Is he surprising you all? Because he has a little undersized?
I've made the statement before, probably the two best centers I played against in the SEC were about 260, 265 maybe, I don't know, but they were good football players. It's not the size, it's what you bring to the table.
You said when you first got here, you had to kind of learn how to pass block, because you mostly just, you know, run block in high school, so that Hickman really helped him with that. I mean, is that something, what does Hickman bring to the table as far as just mentoring a guy like Caputo?
Well, Hickey was a good football player. I mean, he was smart. He understood the game. It helps you to grow up and to learn from somebody who wasn't there, when you're not doing it, when you're learning from somebody else who's doing it the right way. You know, you learn a lot of different things, and I think that's the case in his situation.
Anything else?
Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini getting a lot of questions about his football team and not many about South Dakota State. And the ones that were about South Dakota State were about them being an FCS school, a 1AA, whatever you want to call them these days, and them coming in. I thought the one thing that he said about that is we're not looking to schedule them. Some people thought Youngstown State could be a possibility to fill out Nebraska's schedule next year. I would think from what he said today that that's not a possibility.
Yeah, that was kind of a backing way of asking the coach to write direct if they're going to schedule, you know, a team that goes back to his backyard. Doug, a lot of, you know, they just kind of drug the deal on, asking about individual players. Has Bo Pelini ever said anybody's regressed, or are they always getting better?
We still can get better.
I know. He's really improved. He's getting better.
That's right. And asked about, and this is what we brought this up last week when we were talking. And, of course, Steve Sipple tomorrow will be at our Husker Lunch, brought to you by Complete Nutrition at Schroeder's Smoked Foods. Don't forget that's tomorrow in the Conestoga Mall at 12 noon. More Husker Talk with our Husker Lunch, brought to you by Complete Nutrition. Stop by, have lunch. And how good it is at Schroeder's. And then talk to Sip. He'll answer your questions. He'll be breaking down last week's game and more. That's tomorrow at noon. But, yeah, a long time before Nebraska plays a significant game again. You play this, then you've got that a bye-ish. You got 10 days till you play Kansas State. Then you got another 9 days until you play play Texas. So there's not a lot of football on the field right now for Nebraska, and it comes into a break, and a lot of coaches like to kind of keep playing. Once you get going, they like to keep going.
Yeah, I think, unless you're waiting on Will Compton to get healed up, or maybe some of those injuries to get healed up a little bit, this is a nice time for that. But other than that, yeah, you find yourself on a roll, get a big win, or you feel it's a big win, maybe over a team that you had outmatched. But going into Washington, it was a big game in everybody's eyes. You come out of there by blasting them, yeah, you want to keep rolling.
We will take a break. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia on the other side, so stay with us back after this. Plus emails on guys that have number 40-something on their jersey that can catch a ball. No, not Javad Best.
You know what 2:30 in the afternoon feels like, right? You're sleepy, groggy, dying for a nap. So what do? Run for the coffee? Grab a soda? But how long does that last before you're back for more? Try this instead. Take 1 5-hour energy, then see what the rest of your day feels like. It sure won't feel like 2:30 anymore. Instead of sleepy and groggy, you could be bright and alert without the jitters. 5-hour energy is packed with B vitamins, amino acids, and as much caffeine as a cup of the leading premium coffee. It has zero sugar, zero herbal stimulants, and only 4 calories. The 2-ounce shot takes seconds to drink, and in minutes, you're feeling like your old self again. And that feeling lasts for hours. So replace all those afternoon coffees and sodas with 1 5-hour energy. 5-hour energy. Hours of energy now. No 2:30 feeling later. Individual results may vary. In a clinical trial, 5-hour energy significantly outperformed placebo on continuity of attention and self-related alertness. Neither 5-hour energy nor placebo affected blood sugar or mood. See 5hourenergy.com for more information.
So I'm thinking it's that time of year. You know, football, beer season. But my wife thinks it's...
Honey, help me decorate the house in various shades of orange. Throw fake leaves and plastic pumpkins everywhere.
Season. I need a break. Football and an ice-cold beer.
Escape to Cunningham's Journal Yard Good Time headquarters this fall. Cunningham's has every NFL game on every Sunday, all in high def. Enjoy food and drink specials, too. But don't wait till Sundays. Visit any night of the week and escape the...
Honey, help me.
...zone. Cunningham's Journal. Downtown Kearney.
Nothing gets the heart pumping more than pulling in a Master Angler bass or standing 20 yards away from a huge buck or even a boat full of college girls sitting in your new boat. But it all starts at the Boathouse in Grand Island. From live bait lures and boats to hunting decoys, scents, calls, and blinds, the Boathouse offers you the supplies to be successful this season. And don't forget, ask Tim about winterizing your boat. Stop into the Boathouse today, North Highway 281 in Grand Island, where the fun season never ends.
When you save 10% on the stuff that you bought, that's at Builders.
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, here to announce our all-new Senior Citizens Day every Tuesday at Builders in Kearney. If you're 65 or over, you qualify for a 10% discount on any in-stock items at Builders. That's every Tuesday, where seniors save 10% at Builders in Kearney. See store for details.
Builders does it best.
Steve Sipple, columnist for the Lincoln Journal Star, will have some spoken reaction to the Washington game. And he'll do it at the first name in the spoken word, Shorter Smoke Foods in Grand Island at the Conestoga Mall. Join us for another Big Red Lunch back in Grand Island this Wednesday at the food court, Conestoga Mall, Shorter Smoke Foods. Brought to you by Midas, Home Federal Savings Bank, and Complete Nutrition. The Big Red Lunch this week with Steve Sipple from Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
Spoken!
We'll see partial sunshine across the area today. There's an isolated chance of a shower early yet, especially areas further southeast. Otherwise, look for highs of 77 with an east wind of 5 to 10. We'll then drop back to 60 tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 66. I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop
my shine. I'm Bobby Cloud 9. My head's in the sky. Let's get to the Dead Popper inbox, then Troutman's Tuesday Trivia to wrap our show up today. Brandon Daddy, I'm going to throw it to you. Do you think we will see the Huskers throw the ball more this week against South Dakota State?
No, I don't think you will, because I think maybe the first half, maybe the first three possessions, it's just not going to be a game. I'm embarrassed that this game is being played. I said a long time ago, this is a great game.
Give Cody a chance to throw the ball.
Yeah. No, I think maybe you're going to work on it, but it's going to be in the first half because I think the deal's going to get a little out of hand. I think there's a perfect opportunity for people that have never been to a Nebraska game. If you haven't had the opportunity, there's going to be a lot of tickets available down there.
And maybe not all face value, folks.
No.
Don't. I will say this. I will piggyback on that, Daddy. Don't be afraid to go to Lincoln without a ticket.
You mentioned the Idaho game, which we didn't hear a whole lot of tickets available before the Idaho game. When you walked to the stadium a half hour before?
Just all over the place. And I mean on the stadium grounds where you're not really supposed to be. Guys are walking to the stadium to go to the game and they still have tickets. Again, though, if you haven't been, you want the whole experience. You want to be able to do what you want before the game. And if you're taking the kids, you want to get into the stadium early. You want to see the stadium, see them warm up. Just keep your ears open. People are going to be trying to get rid of tickets. And as I said, maybe not all for face value. I know there's a give and take. It's not like it used to be when a $30 ticket, okay. And now it's a $55, $65 ticket. It's a whole different scenario. But, yeah, and it's supposed to be a nice day Saturday. So even for a 6 o'clock game.
I just think it's a great, great opportunity. Maybe for some people that haven't been there before, go experience the atmosphere, experience the game, see the Huskers play.
Okay, let's get to this whole number. I asked earlier, and we were talking about the game last night, don't throw the ball to guys that have 4-something on their uniform, anywhere between 40 and 49, and they just showed it on SportsCenter. 46 fumbling the ball when he just, I don't even know if he'd caught a ball in his life. Here we go. Mike in Hastings, 44. Tom Rathman. K-Wild says, Javid Best. Really? Really? Two games, K-Wild. Paul Warfield, which somebody else said, different era, and Tom Rathman. I looked up Tom Rathman's stats. He had one decent season catching the ball from Joe Montana where they threw it. Yes, he could catch the ball. I don't consider Tom Rathman a great receiver. He did a lot of great things in his career, and when they threw him the ball, he did good. Moose Johnson, Carla? No. Gale Sayers? He wore number 40. Ken, come on, man! I do believe there was a fullback named Tom Rathman who was a great receiver. See, great and could catch the ball. Eh. I mean, that's a borderline one. And since he's a Husker, everybody is on that. So there you go.
I know you want to get Troutman's trivia, but you saw the stats now. You'll concede the argument that Chris Cooley is an elite tight end.
If he was an elite tight end, he'd have been in the top five of everybody's rankings this year, which he wasn't. Now, you pulled out stats with an experienced Chris Cooley over a Dallas Clark where he's utilized much more. I cannot argue that fact. He has more yards than Dallas Clark has had.
More touchdowns
than Dallas
Clark. But then again,
Washington's terrible. That's the only guy they can throw the ball to. And Santana Moss.
That's Peyton Manning, or you want the quarterback in Washington?
I'm going to somewhat concede this.
All right. Thank you.
There. Let's do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible at 888-455-3776.
What's wrong?
Clear them all. If they're on there now, I don't want them on. We always get yelled at because I can't get through. You know what? Clear them all. They're all busy. So if you're dialing in, it's going to be random. 888-455-3776. And you know what? It's not a local number. So you got the same chance calling from Blue Hill and Deschler as you do from Kearney and Hastings. Let's try it right now. There we go. I watched Wheel of Fortune last night. It was on for like the first time I've watched that show in a long, long time.
Did you get to see your Y5O?
No, I watched too much football, actually. And, you know, it's hard to compete with 3 straight hours of Family Guy.
Oh, wow.
And you can't watch three. I mean, you can, but Monday Night Football's on, too. So I hear they have this new technology where I can still watch Hawaii Five-0. Pretty geeked up about that. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Joe.
Joe, glad to have you on the show today. I've got a question for you. The whole rage now is Taylor Martinez. Right now, through three games, he is number eight on the Nebraska freshman rushing list already. Which freshman rushed for the most yards in Nebraska history? Any player who has the Nebraska freshman rushing record?
Calvin Jones.
It's a great guess, but it is incorrect. Try
That's
back.
My guess.
888-455-ESPN. He is on the top 10. We'll read that top 10. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with? Who are we chatting with? Hello.
Doug.
Yo. Who is the freshman rushing leader?
Is it D'Angelo Evans?
No, also towards the top, but that's not right. Try back, 888-455-3776. See, already a couple of new voices on the phone. I'm glad to hear that. Let's stick with that question. Who are we chatting with?
This is Sean.
Sean, who is Nebraska's freshman rushing leader?
Oh, let's guess Lawrence Phillips.
No.
No, but he's on that list.
He is sixth on the list. Let's keep after it. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, who are we chatting with?
This is Mike from Gibbon.
Mike, do you know the answer? Who is Nebraska's freshman rushing leader all
time? I don't think so, but I'm going to say Tommy Frazier.
No, it's not Tommy.
He's on the list.
He's on the top 10. Thanks, Mike. 888-455-3776. If we don't get it in the next couple, I'll switch the question up so we can keep trying. Who are we chatting with?
Scott.
Scott, do you know the answer? Nebraska's all-time freshman.
Monty Anthony.
Ha ha, Monty Anthony. See, if it would have been a really tough trivia, you would have been the winner, but no, he's fifth. Thanks for trying, Scott. That's a great answer. I can't believe anybody would have guessed that. That's just, I wish we had two gift cards because that's just great. Monty Anthony, by far the earliest on this list. By the way,
1974,
Danny,
is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, 1974. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
It's Pug.
Pug, who is Nebraska's all-time freshman rushing leader?
Amon Green.
That is correct, ladies and gentlemen. He was dethroned eating hot dogs, but now he can go get himself $25 worth. Pug, hold on the line. Merritt will get you hooked up. Thanks for the call. There it is. It is Amon Green, 1,086 yards his freshman season. 1,086, 1995. Amon Green will be playing for your Omaha Nighthawks this Friday, hanging out with Nelly at Rosenblatt Stadium. Calvin Jones was second. D'Angelo Evans was third. David Horn, fourth. Monty Anthony, fifth. And then rounding out the top ten, Lawrence Phillips, Eric Crouch, surprised nobody guessed him, Taylor Martinez, Tommy Frazier, and Brandon Jackson. Your top ten freshman rushing of all time at Nebraska.
Well, since Taylor Martinez continues to move up, should be a all-time leader about, what, game six?
Well, he's doing some good things. Check out Tom Chattel's article today in the Omaha World Herald. He's got some neat things in there that I can't quite get to. A praise for Mike Caputo. Talks about Penn State getting a hockey team with $88 million. He also pointed out that the latest poll on the Heisman has Taylor Martinez ninth. Patty, if the man would lead us to a national championship, and this is crazy talk now, there is no doubt he would be in New York. But, I mean, he's got to play like he is now, so there you go. And the most interesting thought that he makes, the NCAA should suspend Bruce Pearl for a season from Tennessee. If Dez Bryant lied to the NCAA and missed a year, then shouldn't a coach be held to a higher standard? Excellent point, Tom Chattel. I like Bruce Pearl, but that is right. If you're going to hammer the kid, you got to hammer the coach. We want to thank Rick Squires for joining us, UNK volleyball coach, Bo Pelini's press conference tomorrow, UNK football coach Daryl Morris with our Loper Link, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep, and a whole lot more. South Dakota State coach joins us Thursday, Danny.
Hey, we'll see you then. Doug and Daddy show 23 hours from now, 1460 and 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.